Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message.
And we've been kind of hanging out in this series called One, and really be talking about really what it means to be the church, what it means for us as Christians to really have really a relationship with God, but even more so than that, learning how to extend it to other people. Right, learning how to really be the church. And so that's what we've been covering for about 2 weeks. We are off last week, but we're back this week. So we're going to do a small little recap within the message. But, man, hope it's powerful to you. If you have your Bibles, feel free to turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I promise I won't turn into T.D. Jakes this morning just because I have this mic. Get ready. No, so it's not my flow. I'm more of a talker than a preacher, so... That's my style, but man, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse 17, chapter 5 and verse 17, and this is the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, and the old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Be reconciled to God. And if you have something, man, go ahead and stick it in your Bible there. We'll come back to there in just a little while. But we're going to take a look in Proverbs, which is in the Old Testament, right next to Psalms. Proverbs, and we're going to look in chapter 4, and we're going to read start in verse 20. And it says this, it says, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Bow your heads. Let's take a moment just to pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity for us to gather as family, for us to gather as the body of Christ. And Lord, I pray in this moment that your word would be spoken with eloquence, Lord, with excellence, that we might glorify and magnify your name even through my flaws and through all that I'm going through. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me a word of clarity and encouragement. Lord, a word today that would bring your people to a greater knowledge of who you are. I thank you that your spirit is in me, that it flows within this church, Lord. And I thank you that it's within all of us and that you've called us to this great ministry. And Lord, I pray that you would begin to help us learn how to walk it out effectively. We give you the glory and honor for who you are in this moment. In Jesus' name, everybody said. Everybody said. I didn't get to go to the fair yet. Anybody go? Everybody been? Today's the last day? Man, I want some fried dough. I'm sorry, that was on my mind, so I felt like I had to share it today. It's been sitting on my heart all week. I might take a trip to the fair today. Man, I'm sorry, that's just kind of random. I had to talk about that. But man, the fair is really cool because the fair serves one purpose. The fair serves one singular purpose, and that's to make us fat and to entertain us for about 14 days. Thank you. 14 days. That's the purpose of the fair. And I don't know about you, but there's something about the lemonade. Oh, gosh. Anybody had the fresh squeeze? It's just different at the fair. Like, you can squeeze lemonades at home, but I don't know what they put in the fair lemonade, but it's just a little bit sweeter, a little bit lemonier, if that's a word, right? It's just good. Some people like the turkey legs. Any turkey leg fans out there? Yeah, got some hands in the back. Turkey legs, right? They're just trying to make you fat. You don't understand it yet. My other favorite thing, man, to see at the fair, I love, like, just the random kind of food. Like, when they have, like, alligator stuff that I don't try, but I love seeing it because I'm like, somebody's going to eat that. I love that. I'm like, you know what? Man, that serves a purpose for me, For me, my thing is fried dough. When they take the dough and they lay it gracefully in the oil, and then and it, you see it just bubble and begin to matriculate through the oil. It's a beautiful sight. I mean, it almost brings a tear to my eye. And then when they take it out of the oil and they sprinkle it, the powdered sugar and the butter on top, man. See, this is what happens when you give me one of these kinds of mics. I go in a comic, really. Anyway, the fair has a particular purpose. It serves its purpose. It comes, we get fat, we ride, and hopefully we don't have anything terrible happen while we're on the ride. I don't get on them. I pray for those who do. I don't ride it. But I'm like, man, it serves its purpose. It comes, it helps to remind us that, man, fall is here. It helps us to get just a little bit fat, to spend money that we didn't need to spend anyway, right? At winning games that are rigged against you, right? And then we eat, we go, we have a little fun, man, and then we leave. But man, the fair, it serves its purpose. It does what it's supposed to do. That's the thing about, when I think about it, man, Christ had a singular purpose when he came. And sometimes we don't know what that purpose was, but man, I want to explain it to you because the word really kind of reveals it to us here. The purpose of Christ's life, the reason why he came for all of us, was so that nobody would be left behind. That was his purpose. That was the singular reason why he came, that no one would be forgotten. No one would have to remain, be trapped and bound in sin and shame. That's why he came. He lived this amazing life, died on the cross for us. Man, that's the reason why he did it. It's for us that, man, he would put us back within good terms with God. When you hear the word reconciliation, we said it, man, obviously in those verses, the word reconciliation, we kind of almost don't know what it means. What it means is to get back into good terms, right? And so Christ's purpose, his singular sole purpose, was to get us right with God, to bring us all back into a position with God that was great. And we see it in 1 Peter 3:18. He says it, man, for Christ also suffered once for sins, that the righteous, for the unrighteous, man, for the single purpose of what? Bringing us to God. He was righteous. We were unrighteous. He did it once for all of us. That we, in our sin, who are so far from God, that, man, we be brought closer to him. That's the purpose of Christ. That's why he came. And through Christ, the church was established, right? And our singular purpose as a church is to carry on what Christ did. If you want to know, hey, man, what's the one thing we're supposed to do as a church? It's to carry on what Christ did when he lived on this earth. And so I've been saying in this series, man, we are the church. To be the church, we need to act on, really, man, the opportunity that Christ has laid before us to carry on his mission, to do something that's bigger and better than anything we could imagine that we could be. Now, for you, man, who may not know, man, I'm a dad. I got two girls, and that's an amazing, great purpose that I have in my life. I love being a husband. It's an amazing, great purpose that God has done for me. And my wife, she deals with me every day. I'm still here. I'm still alive. Man, and I serve that purpose, but, man, and my wife would say this, and she knows that I love her to death, but she knows that the greater purpose that I have is fulfilling what God has for me. As much as I am, and I try to be a great father, as much as I am, and I want to be and try to be a great dad, a great husband, man, my greater purpose, the thing that I was placed on this earth to do, was to bring glory to God. That's it. Above all, everything else has to fall in line with that. And if that main purpose is off, then everything else goes askew. Everything else is thrown off. If my relationship with God is not correct, if it's not on point, if it's not tight, if I'm not serving that main purpose of bringing glory to him, then I really can't do it in every other area of my life. I will never fully reach it until, man, I'm in good terms with God, and that's why Christ came. And that's what I'm saying, man, I want us, I've been begging us to say, man, we need to begin to live and share out and maintain the purpose of why Christ came. We have to do that with passion. We have to do that with heart. We have to do that in the best way we can. Why? Because there's more people out there who don't know yet what their ultimate purpose is. They don't know. They haven't figured it out yet. And it's our job to create an environment where they can come in and begin to experience that. That's our job. If you want to know what we're trying to do as a church, man, is to bring people in that they would know, that they would begin to experience, man, him, that we would know him, have a relationship with him, and begin to be his church. Right? And the primary way that we do that, the thing that we have to do is to really walk out those values, to be, as I said, cultural ambassadors for Christ and his church. That's what we need to do, is to be cultural ambassadors. And in order for us to be cultural ambassadors, in order for us to kind of represent Christ and his church, to continue to walk out what he's doing, the thing that we have to do in our lives, the thing that we need to recognize that we have to do first and foremost is to follow Jesus. If you want to know kind of what the values of our church is, the way that we have a relationship with God, is to follow Jesus. That's the first value that we have as a church. That's how we become one with God. It's to follow Jesus. And I shared it last week, 2 weeks ago. I'm not going to preach again. You can certainly turn into the podcast and check it out. But I want to kind of give you just a brief rundown of what we said. Man, we said that Jesus is the center of all that we do. That, man, if we're going to follow Jesus, that he has to be at the center. He's the central focus of our lives. And that he not only is the central focus of our lives, but he's the model that we follow. So when I don't know kind of how to do what I need to do, I can turn to him and say, man, Christ did this. Maybe I need to be doing that as well. He lived this way on earth. Then I need to follow that same direction. He's the model that we follow. And the last thing, he's the savior that we need. I cannot reach God without him. As good as I am, as good as a person as I am, and I said this last week, man, you could help old ladies cross the street, man, you can pay your taxes, you can do all that great stuff and be a good person, but if you don't have Christ as your Savior, if you've not accepted him as your heart, you're not good with God. We don't like to hear that a lot, right? Because we like to think that, man, my good is good enough. No, Christ's good is all that matters. He's the Savior that we all need. And that's the first value we taught. Man, if we're going to be one, if that's who we're really going to be, man, we have to start there. If we're going to become one with God and one as a body, we have to follow Jesus. That was our first value. The second value I'm sharing today is this, that, man, we have to be all heart. I don't do this a lot, but since I got this kind of mic, man, I'm going to do it today. Turn to your neighbor and, yeah, see, look, y'all don't even know how to do that. Turn to your neighbor and say, we're all heart. See? Now, oh, look, I got this mic in my hand. Now turn to your other neighbor. See, I don't even do that all the time. Turn to your neighbor on the other side and say, we're all heart. See? I told y'all, y'all better get my mic fixed. I'm trying to tell you. Man, but what we really have, we have as a church, as the body of Christ, we have an all heart approach. That's, man, how we try to approach this church thing, this Christian thing, this kingdom thing, is that, man, we're all heart. All heart. That it's not, man, my Christianity isn't just for me. It isn't just for people that live in Jackson or Madison or Ridgeland. It's not for people, man, that vote like I vote. It's not for people that look like I look. It's not for people that are as educated as me or as rich or as poor as me. It's literally for all. All. That's our approach. It's kind of a, I like to say, put it this way, one Christ fits all. That's the way to put it, man. One Christ fits all. And so, man, when I think about it, the sacrifices that he made, what he did, it wasn't just for black or for white or for Hispanic or for Asian. It wasn't just for rich or poor or Republican or Democrat. He did it for all. He did it for all of us. And so I have to begin to see other people the way that is that correlates with how he sacrificed. If he sacrificed for all, if his heart dying on the cross, carrying our sins was for all. That means that if I'm following him, that I have to be for all. And I know we haven't done that so well as a country in the last few weeks. Can we be honest about that? That should get a big amen. I got a mic today. See, we're getting all into it. All right. That's a big amen. Look, here's the thing. When we have to continue to go back, I'm not going to go into any subjects or conversations because we could spend all day talking on different sides of issues, right? But the thing that I want us to do is to go back to what Christ established. Christ followed God. He continued in his life to submit himself to God. And it was saying in that first value, man, I need to be submitting my life to Jesus Christ. If I'm going to really do this thing, man, he has to be at the center. I have to model myself after him. I have to allow him to be my savior. That means that's going to shape my life. It has to. And so once I begin to see in this kind of all-heart approach, this perspective, man, I'm going to start being like Christ was. If you look at Romans 10, 12 through 13, and there we're dealing with issues somewhat similar to what we're dealing now in this country. And Paul's here saying there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. There's no difference. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That means that cousin that you're going to see at Thanksgiving that you don't like too much, he died for them too. Man, the boss that works the very last nerve, man, he died for them too. He sacrificed for them too. The people on your street that you don't like that they voted for this person, he died for them too. And so we have to begin to put ourselves in that perspective of saying, okay, man, I have to now, if I'm going to be who Christ was, if I'm going to make him the center, if I'm going to model myself after him, I have to begin to think like Christ thought. I have to begin to pattern my life after him. That's not always easy. You might be saying, Pastor Kevin, come on. I mean, really, that's not easy. And I'm saying, you know what? It's not all the time. It's not. It's sometimes it can be incredibly difficult in this time that we live in. And I would say, you're right, it's not easy, and it won't be easy. But I'm determined, even if maybe you haven't done it so well, I can say in my life, I haven't always done it so well. I haven't always had an all-heart approach in my life. There's some times where I was kind of stupid in my thought life. Sorry, I don't mean to offend anybody with that word, but I was. I was kind of dumb in how I thought about other people. I didn't see them in the way that God saw them, and I treated them that way, which was sinning on my part. We don't like to admit that sometimes the thoughts that we have about other people is sin, but it is sin. When we tear them down, when we try to destroy people, their character, whoever they might be, you are sinning. And so, man, what I'm saying is, I want us as a church, as this church, as this body of Christ, even as the body of Christ in general, to begin to start here. We always feel like, man, we're always trying to push, kind of kick the can down the road and push it to somebody else and push it to our kids and our grandkids. Oh, they'll figure it out in time, right? We'll let them deal with it. I'm saying, no, let's start here. Let's start in this room. If you look around the room, this is a pretty amazing room for Jackson, Mississippi, that we can all sit in a room, all looking different, different clothes, different people, different shades of color, different economic status. And look, we can all be civil and have conversations and drink coffee and listen to this crazy black dude talk on this crazy mic today. We can do that. And that's a beautiful thing. Man, I'm saying, man, you know what? Let's actually begin to think like Christ. Let's actually begin to live how he lived. Let's actually do it. I don't want to just, man, go about the same motions anymore. I'm so tired of having to not like people. I just want to love people. Can I just do that? I just want to love on people. And you know what? They might disagree with me on some stuff, and that's okay.
You know why? Because at the end of the day, I know that Christ loves them, and that means that I need to love them too. And I know that's not always easy, but you know what? That's what his word tells us to do. That's that all heart perspective. That's that approach that I'm saying as a church that we are going to have. If you're new to the church today, I'm so sorry. This is probably the most out there message I've given in a while. So my team will lightly massage you and hug you after the service to let you know it's okay. But man, when we say we're all heart, what do we mean? This is actually one of the core values of our church. What this means is this, that man, no matter what we look like, what we've been through, or where we've come from, we recognize that we're all loved by God. We choose to love who and what God loves. We love our city. We love Jackson, and that's not always easy to say, potholes, right? But we love Jackson. We do. I love Ridgeland. I love Madison. I love Clinton. I love Byram. Look, I'm not even from here, and I'm starting to love these places. I love it now. Seriously, I really love Jackson. Seriously. Like, the whole metro area, not just Jackson proper, but, like, even everything. Like, I love it. And I have to. Why? Because God loves it. And I know it's hard to love Jackson. Whoo! Sometimes it's really hard to love. I know I'm not the only one. Sometimes it's really hard to love, but I have to love it. Why? Because God loves it. I have to go beyond just kind of talking nasty about Jackson or about Ridgeland or about Madison all the time and actually begin to love this city. I have to begin to love this place. I have to begin to love other people that live in the city. I have to start loving my neighbors, the ones that play music late at night. We've only had one that moved in recently, and I'm praying for them. Lord, help them. Jesus, man, I'm praying for them. But I have to, why? Because God still loves them. Whew. I'm glad he's God and I'm not God. Man, God still loves them. I'm saying, man, in our culture, what we're trying to endeavor to do as a church, man, this city heart thing that we're doing, what we're trying to do is this, is that we're trying to allow love to lead every encounter, interaction, and decision. Everyone. I'm allowing love to lead every encounter, interaction, and decision. And here's why. Because for any one of us to be a cultural ambassador, for any one of us to be able to help somebody else be reconciled to God, then we have to recognize that they're going to be drawn by love. They're going to be drawn by love. Man, in order for us to do it, in order for us to help people come back to Christ, man, I have to do what Christ did. If I'm going to bring them to God, I have to do it in the way that Christ, man, I have to love on somebody. I have to. And as a church, if we're honest, we've turned a lot of people away from God. We have. We've turned a lot of people away from God because, man, we failed to lead, man, the encounters that we have with people with love. We're already, before people even open their mouths, we've already judged them down and given people tickets to hell before we even really get to know them. We do that a lot. You know what makes it so much more worse? And as good as it is, it's so terrible. Social media is the worst. It's amazing. It's an amazing experience of mine today. It's such an amazing tool. But what it does, man, in situations like we've seen over the last few weeks, it just harbors and continues to enforce and allows us to echo chamber our opinions, where we don't allow love to really lead in what we say. There's a lot of times, and I have to check myself too, I'm preaching to me too, trust me, where I want to comment on stuff, but I get an immediate check from the Holy Spirit that says, man, are you saying that out of love? When you leave here today, there's a bulletin board the school puts up that I can kind of, if I lean over, I can see it. Man says, it kind of asks you, man, the things you post, is it really worth it? Is it loving? Is it kind? Is it encouraging? And if it isn't those things, don't post it. Don't post it. No matter how great the meme might be, if it doesn't bless somebody, don't post it. I know it's really simple. This is kind of down to earth. But sometimes we just need to be real about some stuff. And a lot of times as a church, we're not. And we're losing people because we're not being honest. And I want to be honest and say that, man, we're allowing our encounters, our interaction, and our decisions, because they're not guided by love, we're losing the opportunity to reach people for God. Every time we post something that is just off color, that man, you miss an opportunity. There was somebody that was watching you on social media that was like, man, I was going to come to church, but, man, what is that church like? If they're saying that kind of stuff, it happens. And that's why, man, I'm extra cautious about even what I post. That's why I don't post too much, if you notice. I don't post very much. If I do, a lot of times about the church or about my wife or about my kids. And that's kind of my safe zone. If I keep it there, I'm good. Right? Might post a random, you know, something sports video. Right? Even then, you're not really safe anymore. But I'm saying, you know what? I want to make sure that, man, my decisions, my interactions, that my encounters are guided by love. And this is what David did. He was in a place where he made this a multiple of horrible decisions outside of love. David was a king. He was a warrior. He was a good-looking dude. And he's kind of hanging out his window and sees Bathsheba hanging out. And he's like, who is that over there? Wow. Right? And so what does David do? He calls people, hey, who is that? Right? And he goes and he kind of, and Bathsheba, look, Bathsheba is married. Right, he goes and tries to approach her. She's like, nah, dude, I'm married. But he's like, you know what? Man, who's her husband? He's in my army? For real? Okay. Where's he serving at? Let me go. Man, push him out to the front. Push him out to the front. You know why? Because I want his girl. Push him out to the front. Let him go, man. Let's go fight somebody, and you make him go first. Let him take a step forward, and everybody else take a step back, and we'll just see what happens, you know. We'll just see what kind of happens. Man, and he does this, all those, every encounter, everything that he did, it was not in love. He was not thinking about Uriah. He was not thinking about Bathsheba. He was thinking about just David and David's emotion, how David feels. And it's all about him. And it's all about, man, if I can get my little point said, or if I can do what makes me feel good in this moment, then, man, that's all that matters. No. Start thinking about somebody else. Man, how is this going to affect that person that might be, man, influenced by me in a little way? How is this going to affect my coworker that knows that I go to church every week? And maybe we're Facebook friends and they see me post something negative. They see me post something kind of off kilter. How are they going to think about God now? I know it's tough, I'm sorry. But man, if I'm aligning myself the right way, if I'm doing it right by love, if those interactions are guided by love, then I don't have to worry about falling short of the mark. And when David does, he finally reaches a point where he gets checked, he gets it back together, and he cries out to God in Psalm 51. He's crying out to God because he knows, man, I messed this thing up. I've messed it up. And he says this in 51:10. He says, Lord, man, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. David recognized, man, my heart might not be so right as I think it is. Lord, create in me a pure heart. Renew a steadfast spirit with me. And if I'm honest with myself, I recognize that there are moments where my heart isn't so pure. It's just not. Even as a pastor, where my heart is just off, and I can recognize when it starts to get off. There's one main reason why. It's because I am not in my word. If I'm ever kind of getting really testy with my wife, or if I'm kind of short with my kids, or man, if I get to a place where I'm just kind of being not the greatest person ever, I recognize that the reason why it's happening is because I'm not opening up the Bible and blowing the dust off that we have to do sometimes, man, and allowing this word to sink into my heart. I'm If I'm getting there, I recognize that, man, I'm not taking the time. Man, even on your phone, I'm turning to Facebook before I turn to the Word. I'll raise my hand, both hands on that one. Man, I'm allowing everything but what Christ did to impact my life. I'm not allowing my heart to be softened or changed or made pure or cleansed by the Word. That's when I know I'm off. My wife might remind me, but even before that, I recognize that, man, I might be off. And the reason why I'm saying, man, it's the Word, because I know I'm off because, man, I'm not really connected with my source. I'm not connecting with the Lord like I should. This Word is all about Jesus. So if I'm going to follow him, if my approach is going to be his heart, then I have to read about him. I have to learn about him. I have to discover, man, what was he like? What, man, how did he approach life? How did he approach people? How did he go about it? And if I do that, then, man, I can start to figure this thing out. John 1:1-2 says, man, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. In the beginning, he was with God. In the beginning, the Word mattered that much. And if it mattered that much at the beginning, then it probably matters just as much in my life right now. It should. It should matter that much. The Word helps to cleanse and purify my heart. It helps me to check my motives, my thoughts, my opinions, and my actions. And it does it, man, when I study it, when I speak it, and when I live what it says. We read Proverbs 4:20. It says again, man, my son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Give it some attention. Give it some time. Let this Word begin to work on your life. If you got some stuff going on, I promise that the Word has the solution to what's going on if it's your marriage. I promise you, man, you can turn to the Word and find what's wrong with your husband. No, you can find what's wrong with yourself, right? You can figure it out, man. I can figure it out. It's in the Word. If I'm having issues, man, with getting involved in stuff that's not right for me, I can look in the Word and it'll show me a solution to what's going on. But, I have to allow to, man, I just want to give you some kind of practical tips. Man, what it says, Proverbs 21 says, do not let them out of your sight, the words. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Man, I want to give you just some practical tips here. Man, if you recognize that your heart isn't in the best place, if you can kind of look back, if you kind of scrolled through your search history of life, right? If you kind of went through your life news feed and kind of look back and say, ooh, that wasn't so great. Here are some tips. Here are some things to help you that we see right there. Number one, turn your ear to the Word. Consistent reading. Do some consistent reading of the Word. Speaking the Word out. Don't just read it, but actually speak it. That's what they teach you in the military. That's why they all have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, we are the Marine Corps. What are they doing? They're actually teaching them how to love the Marine Corps. Them people don't love the Marine Corps like that. Not at first, right? You learn to love it, but at first, boot camp, you don't love the Marine Corps like that. Why are we marching 8 miles? What's going on? You don't love it, but they're teaching you. You're continuing to say it. Man, 1, 2, 3, 4, I love Marine. I do. I kind of love the Marine Corps. You start to love it. And as you begin to speak his Word, as you listen to it, they have books on tape. You can, even from your phone, you can have audio. It'll just, my wife does it in the shower. I'm just, what? Who is that man talking to my wife? In Leviticus 2 and 4. Like, I'm like, what is that? She's hearing it all the time. She's listening to the Word. Man, turn your ear to the Word. I'm sorry, baby. I just let any secrets go. I'm so sorry. All right. Number two, man, keep them within your heart. How do I keep them within my heart? Man, memorize some scripture. This is kind of old school, right? We used to do this back in the day. Get a flashcard, right? Write the verse on one side and what it actually says on the back. Come on. Right? That's how we learned scripture back in the day. We don't do that stuff anymore. Why? Because I know it's easy to kind of, I can just flip. I do this all the time. Let me just flip to the scripture real quick. But you know what? I need to know it. I need to have it in my heart so that, man, if I ever get in a place where, which happens with me a lot, where my phone is dead and I need to talk to somebody and I need to give them a word, I need to have it already there. Keep them within your heart. Meditate with them. Man, take that one scripture and just speak it out all day. Just take one verse. I'm not saying read a whole chapter. One verse. Get that one verse and just, man, every time it pops in your mind, just speak it out. Just say it. Just meditate on it. Just begin to say, man, it could be the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And you might be going through a situation where, man, you want a whole lot. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That, man, another large bill comes out of your bank account. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not. When you begin to speak that, man, like we said before, it'll begin to get down inside of you. 3 says, man, for they are life. Man, these words is life. This word is life. Man, find the words and apply it to your situation. You can Google, what does the Bible say about this particular subject? And it will give you a list of scriptures that you can then apply to your situation. Like, it's really is simple. And begin to speak them over yourself. Begin to speak them over your spouse. Begin to speak them over your kids. Begin to speak them over your manager. Lord, bless that dude. Begin to speak them over every person in your life. 4, guard your heart. Make the word primary. Make this word above anything else. Above whatever political opinion that you might have, make the word come before that word and let that politics be subject to the word. Versus, a lot of times we like to make our word subject to our politics. I'm saying no, let your politics be subject to your word. And don't think that you are right. Start there, saying, you know what, let me re-examine what the word says and then base my politics off that decision. Let the word lead in your life. The word has to impact you so that it can impact somebody else. If we're not allowing it to get in there, there's no way that we can have an all-heart approach if we don't understand the heart of Christ. There's no way that we're going to be able to help other people. And I'm saying, as a church, I want us to really begin to help somebody else, to begin to think of others, the word tells us, man, think of others even before we think of ourselves. That's that all-heart approach. And I'm saying we can do that. We can allow love to lead our encounters and our interaction, our decisions. But, man, it starts here. And even for me, man, I can admit there's times where, you know, I kind of have bad Bible habits. Bad Bible habit 1, trying to read the Bible in your bed. You're going to fall asleep. It's just going to happen, right? Bad Bible habit 2, not bringing your Bible to church. Phone is great, bring your word, right? Bad Bible habit 3, not actually knowing what the Bible actually says and quoting wrong stuff to people based on something that you read on some other source outside of the word. Read this first. Allow this to determine, man, those situations of things that are going on in your heart. Lastly, I'm going to leave you with this, man. When people come, when they walk through these doors, they want to feel welcome. They want to feel like they're not walking into a hostile environment where we're not broken up into cliques and people really, we don't want to get to know anybody, or something that is only for perfect people, or something for only that people that look like that, or only people that live there. I'm saying that we need to create an environment that has an all-heart approach. And so to do that, we have to guard our hearts. How do we do that? Really quickly. Proverbs 4:24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. I'm saying, man, let the word be the guard of your heart. Let the word help you to figure out what this all-heart approach is so that you can be new in Christ. We read it earlier. It said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That old way of thinking that you have in Christ, it can be changed. The way that you might have thought about some situations, about some people, in Christ, that can be changed. It doesn't have to stay the same. We don't have to remain how we've been in this city, in this country, and in this world. We don't have to remain this way. If we make a solid choice to say, you know what, I'm going to finally allow the word to govern my heart, to guard my heart. That, man, when I meet people, I'm going to approach them in the way that Christ did, because I'm trying to be more and more like him. That I'm seeing people, no matter what they look like, no matter what they come from, no matter what they've been through, I'm seeing them in the way that Christ saw them, because one day somebody saw me that way. When I was a wretch, undone, when I was fully immersed in sin, swimming in it, when I was doing stuff that I knew I shouldn't have been doing, when I was so hateful in my heart, somebody saw me and said, you know what, that person is worth me seeing their heart before I see anything else. I'm saying as a church, let's start now. Let's start to do this. It's not easy, but man, we can do it. We can do it. We can do it. You can do it. You can have this all-heart approach. And if we begin to do it, I promise you, the people that are in your city, that are in your family, that are in your friend group, that are in on your job, that your associates, you will, if you begin to live this way, you will begin to see them come to the Lord. I double dog, triple dog dare you to try it out and see and begin to really live this out every day and how you interact with people, that you're doing it through love, and see if their attitudes don't change about you. How you think they think about you. Man, I encourage you, please try. I'm saying as a church, we are going to do this. You know why? Because, man, if we're going to be an effective church, if we're going to be able to reach all people, we have to have an attitude that says we're all heart. Bow your heads, let's pray.
Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.